And welcome to another episode of Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. I am your host, Karen Litzy, and thank you all for tuning in today. So like I said last week, if you're new to the program, thank you for tuning in. And if you've listened to the program before, welcome back. And today's interview is sort of part two of an interview that I did last week with Ann Wendell and Alan Basilick, both physical therapists and both providing physical therapy care through a cash-based physical therapy model. So today, I'm happy to have on the show another physical therapist, also from Austin, same place Alan is from, actually, who is doing the same sort of physical therapy cash-based practice. And his name is Dr. Jared Carter. And since becoming a physical therapist in 2005, he has continuously sought out skilled mentors and learning opportunities in therapy and business. He worked in both private insurance, both insurance-based and private pay practices before opening Carter Physiotherapy in the spring of 2010. And that is a fully cash-based therapy clinic. And he has been able to use creative marketing and fast results, so his patient schedule was pretty full within the first 6 months of opening up his practice. And we'll sort of talk about how he did that in a little bit. But with insurance and Medicare reimbursements on the decline, many insurance-based PT clinics are struggling to maintain a good profit, and we'll talk about that. So Jared sees cash-based services as an important part of surviving the current and future changes in the healthcare industry, as well as maintaining high-quality treatments. So he also has, for this reason, is now helping other physical therapists add and convert to cash-based services and avoiding insurance industry dictate on how they treat their patients. He has a blog. He has a website. It's drjaredcarter.com. So, and we'll repeat that later on and throughout the show. So, Jared, welcome to the show, and thanks for taking the time out of your schedule today.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. So, last week, I spoke to Ann Wendell and to Alan Basilink, and we had a lot of questions coming in from Twitter and a lot of questions from other people, and I have some follow-up questions even from that interview. So, but the first thing I want to know is, why did you decide to start your cash-based business?
Well, like we said in the little bio there, that I was able to work in both insurance-based practices as well as a cash-based practice. And when I decided to start my own practice, just seeing the differences in the between the two, I knew without a doubt that I wanted to try and do the cash-based route. Mm-hmm. For a number of reasons. But, you know, essentially in the cash-based realm, I saw that I was able to spend so much more time one-on-one with patients, so much less time with paperwork and other administrative, responsibilities. You're not in a cash-based realm, you're not paying someone else to have to do all your billing and try to get you paid for your mm-hmm. hard work. Mm-hmm. So kind of the list goes on and on in terms of just generally less headaches and doing more of what I really love to do, which is spend time with patients and give them really high quality care.
Sure. So that's sort of the motivation behind starting a cash-based business for you.
Yes, for me.
Yeah.
At least.
yeah. And, you know, I guess, and this is something that, you know, we spoke to Ann and Alan about last week, but if you could pinpoint, and we'll sort of get to this right off the bat, because this is what a lot of people want to know. If you can pinpoint, let's say, maybe a mistake or something within the creation of this sort of cash-based model that you would tell someone interested in starting, like, oh, boy, I did X, Y, and Z, or I did A, and boy, that just did not work out well. And I think what Ann said was, she said when she first started, she's like, I just quit my job and didn't, she's like, I quit my job, didn't have savings, and just thought all the patients were going to come right away. instead of sort of doing it gradually. So did you make any sort of glaring, I don't want to call them mistakes, because it's not a mistake because it brought you to where you are now. But did you have any missteps, let's say, or something you really learned from that you can pass on?
Well, you know, with all the hard work I put into it up front, I really didn't have a too big of an issue in terms of getting patients in the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I outline how I do that a lot at my website, and there's a lot of, you know, shifting of referral sources in the cash-based realm, which I'm sure we can talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
But I think probably one of the lessons that I learned was that when you decide to start or, say, convert to a cash-based practice, you have to realize that most physicians are not going to be as likely to send patients to you. Not that they all will just stop sending patients,
mm-hmm.
by any means, but you have to kind of understand that your referral sources are going to have a higher percentage of word of mouth, you know, internet-based, social media type stuff. You know, you're going to be getting patients from other sources than just strictly physicians.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing personal. It's not that they dislike you all of a sudden or anything like that. It's just that they understand that the majority of their patients, the majority of any population out there, is going to want to use the insurance that they're paying for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally fine, totally understandable. You can't, in your mind, don't get frustrated and think, oh, but they should, you know, go out of network to see me because I spend more time on whatever. You know, just understanding up front that most people are going to still stick with insurance, and that's fine, and that most physicians are going to want to send practitioners who take insurance. There's still a vast amount of people out there, you know, a certain percentage of any population, who will pay more out of pocket for what mm-hmm. they consider or perceive as a higher value service.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, you know, mistake wise or would be just realizing that up front and not working too much in terms of going around to physicians' offices and marketing, trying to market to them, market your cash-based services to them. It's not that you'll never get any patients from
mm-hmm.
them. It's just that the return on investment probably isn't as good as going out to to say Chamber of Commerce events or athletic events and just networking with
mm-hmm.
people, and you know, instead of just targeting physicians' offices, which is kind of the, you know, the most traditional form of marketing for a physical therapy practice. But the game really does change when you go into the cash-based realm.
Absolutely. And what about something that I do here in New York is I also try and network with other, like, fitness professionals. So it might be other personal trainers, massage therapists, things like that. Because, you know, obviously insurance doesn't really cover personal training. It doesn't cover personal training. I don't think it covers all massage therapy. So getting referrals from people like that is great, because you're getting a referral from someone who is already willing to pay a little extra for, you know, that's kind of one-on-one care. So I found that to be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say personal trainers are my second biggest referral source, aside from, you know, you can consider that a kind of a word of mouth, but
mm-hmm.
I have some specific things that I do to market to personal trainers and network with them. And you're absolutely right. That's a huge component of my business today, and especially with getting started. I reached out to all the trainers I knew, and really, you know, that helped get things going for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, I did the same thing. And, you know, to this day, I, like, last week got 4 new referrals from personal trainer friends of mine here in the city. And I think and having, like, a good, and you know, and it goes both ways. You know what I mean? It's not like they're just giving you referrals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you send them back as
Yeah,
well.
You send them back. Or maybe I get, like, I've had patients where I knew that they were getting ready to wind down with their physical therapy and needed personal training. And so I have a group of personal trainers that I know and I trust, and they're very good. And we work collaboratively. Mm-hmm. And that really brings out a lot. That's a great way to increase your referrals and to increase the amount of patients that you're going to see, you know? And
yeah, there's not a lot. There's not many things that make someone want to send you business than sending them business.
Absolutely.
For sure. And
yes.
That even, you know, on that topic, just to quickly add in, That expands out to pretty much all networking scenarios. When I go to a networking event of some sort or meet with other business owners, in my mind, I'm really trying to not think, you know, who might they know that could come in and see me, or how can I get business out of this situation?
It's more
of who do I know that might benefit from knowing this person, and then make a point to, you know, send an introductory email and, you know, try to help others drum up business for themselves, and they will remember you a lot more so than if you just, you know, trade business cards and say, nice to meet you. You know,
absolutely.
And that's that.
Yeah, I mean, I think going into, and like you said, going to networking events and things like that, which I do often here, but I think going into a network event and looking at more of what can you offer to the people at that event. So, what are your offerings to them? And, you know, coming in with that sort of very authentic and true kind of feeling of self and what you can offer will certainly come back to you. You know,
absolutely.
But going in with, oh boy, I need to meet this person, this person, this person, because they might be able to give things to me, I think is just the wrong way to approach it. You know, and people see that, you know, and they don't want that sort of salesy kind of person taking care of people that they know. You know?
They'll detect that really quickly.
Yeah, people sniff that out fast.
I think it was about a year and a half ago, I did a 2 or 3 part series specifically on networking and how I went about it and how I go about it with exactly what you're talking about, you know, really going into it, looking at how you can add value to every you know, connection and connecting with others and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, because you never know, like the person that you meet at a networking event that maybe has nothing to do with the health or with health or wellness. You know, I go to a lot of female entrepreneurial events. So there are women who make nail polish for a living, let's say. But in talking with that person and, you know, they may ask me questions, I offer them my knowledge back. So listen, maybe that girl may know someone she works with looking for a PT and she'll refer me. So, it doesn't, you don't only have to network with people even within your industry or even on the fringes of your industry. You know,
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It's good to be able to cast a wide net and to go in with the attitude, like you said, of how can I improve them versus what can all these people give me? So, anyway, I think that's very important part of building a business, and I'm really glad that you brought that up because I don't think we talked about that last week. But on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about I have tons of questions for you from people on Twitter, and I was at a thing over the weekend. So we'll be right back.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you confused about which diet is right for you? Are you tired of being tired? How about improving your energy, strength, and appearance? Hi, I'm Rika Keck, a holistic nutrition and wellness consultant. If you have answered yes to any of my questions, contact me now at nyintegratedhealth.com or at 646-285-8588. Initiate change and transform your life.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners.
Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. I am your host, Karen Litze. I'm joined today by physical therapist, Dr. Jared Carter. So, Jared, you're back on?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me a little bit better this time?
Yes, that's good. Thanks. Okay. So I loved what you brought up in the last segment about really entering into a network event or you know, a referral type situation with looking at what you can offer to people versus it being what can people give to you. And I think that bears repeating because I think it's really, really insightful. And I'm so happy you brought that up. But now, here's an interesting question for you. Because I was at a course over the weekend here in New York, and it was taught by Barrett Dorco. Do you know who he's a physical therapist? Yeah. So, you know, there are a lot of PTs there, and so we were just sort of talking about the interview. And one of the questions is, do you feel like, and I think I had asked you this already, but do you feel like having a cash-based business can be viewed as elitist or perhaps a little alienated by those who cannot afford your services? And how do you respond to that?
I mean, the short answer would be yes. I'm sure that does happen at times. But I think with that scenario or that issue, if it's a concern for people, or considering doing a cash-based practice or converting to more of a cash-based model, and there are a few things to consider. One is it's not as if you going into a cash-based model is all of a sudden keeping people from having a lot of great choices where they can use their insurance. I mean, mm-hmm. if that were the case, obviously, you'd need to think, you know, more about it. But there's always going to be the vast majority of PT practices in any given city are going to take insurance. So it's not like you're personally limiting someone else's access to good care, right? Mm-hmm. And on an individual level, if you're in a situation or maybe looking at starting a practice and end up in a situation where, it's really difficult to remain profitable because of declining reimbursements, or you're just not happy with the fact that you have to see, you know, three or four patients an hour to make a decent living, and you don't feel like you're giving the care you want, you know, and the list goes on in terms of things where you're just not satisfied with the business that you've built and what you're doing on a daily basis. If you're in that situation, you're also not in really the you're not in a situation where you're going to be of great help to others as well. So mm-hmm. you kind of have to look at, you know, if now and again someone wants to come see me and they can't afford it, they obviously have other good options in the area. Mm-hmm. And if that really upsets them, you know, and someone here and there feels that way or a colleague feels that way, I don't put as much weight into that as I put into the fact that I'm extremely happy and satisfied with the business model I have mm-hmm. and what I do on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have that, it doesn't matter if everyone else is happy or
right.
thinks that
well,
you're
why,
not
Well, why do what you're doing then?
Like that. I don't remember who the quote comes from, but just recently I read something that went along the lines of the only sure way, or there's a very sure way of failing in business, and that's to try and make everyone happy all of the time.
Oh, you
and
can't do it.
I don't want that to sound harsh or anything, but I do feel like, you know, if you're occasionally viewed in that way by a colleague or by a prospective patient, that you know, that's a bummer. But in the long term and across the board and with the majority of the population, you know, you're better off focusing on making sure you're happy with what you're doing and providing good care and whatever business model that that might come through.
Sure. Yeah. Because, you know, if you're not happy, boy, your patients pick up on that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're with someone for an hour,
you're going from one patient to the next, and they can tell you're
frazzled,
just not able to give them what you want to or what they need. You know, doing that day after day, I'd take a few people upset with me or calling me elitist over, you know, doing that daily. You know,
and
actually being able to give the kind of care I want and spend the time I want with patients. So
yeah, exactly.
That's kind of how I would approach that issue or that potential issue.
And that goes. The next question is, how long are your sessions? A lot of people wanted to know that.
I spend a full hour with each patient. Sorry, every now and again I'm hearing exactly what I'm saying, like a second.
Oh, a little echo? So, yeah, that's okay.
It's kind of throwing me off.
Yeah,
a little bit,
we definitely don't. You don't hear the echo on this end, but I know that sometimes it can echo a little bit. So, but you're okay. You sound great.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so I spend the full hour one-on-one with each patient in each session.
Yeah, and here's a question from Erica Mello. She's here and has a practice here in New York City, and it is, how do you deal with late cancellations? I mean, or no-shows or things like that? Now, correct me, you have a brick-and-mortar practice, correct? You're not doing home care.
I'm not visiting homes, yeah.
Okay.
I do have a brick-and-mortar business, and with my intake forms, I make it clear that, you know, I give them kind of a get out of jail free card on the first cancellation in less than 24 hours, with less than 24 hour notice. But beyond that, I charge them half of the rate, which is $75. So it's a pretty hefty fee.
Yeah.
And you know, if it's something that's completely unavoidable, you know, I sometimes I'll be a little more lenient on it.
Yeah.
But you can kind of tell when someone is just simply not respectful of your time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get the sense of that, I'll charge them in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And you got to be kind of tough about that. And when they do it the first time, you need to let them know, hey, I give everyone kind of a get out of jail free on the first, you know, cancellation with a shorter notice. But if it, you know, if it does happen again, I will need to charge you the half, you know, the $75.
Right.
But generally, also what I found in a cash-based realm is that no-shows are very, very rare.
Yes.
And late cancellations are pretty uncommon, too, especially compared to insurance-based practices, because, you know, just when people are paying more out of pocket, they just attach more value to it, and they just tend to cancel less, and they tend to, you know, make it more of a priority in their life.
Yeah, I have a cash-based business, but I have a home business. So, you know, patients rarely cancel because I'm going to them, and they never show up late because they're there. Although I have had people show up late. But yeah, I do the same thing. Like if someone is, you know, very, very, well, I always say, like, if you're sick, do not, like, please cancel.
Yeah.
Even if you wake up that morning and you're like, you were fine the day before and you're sick as a dog, because as you know, if you're not working, you're not getting paid. So if you get very sick because someone failed to tell you that they're very sick, it's no good.
I'd rather lose the money or try to fill the spot.
Totally.
Last minute.
Totally. I would rather lose out on the money, fill the spot versus, because I have gone to patients' homes. They'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sick. I have the flu. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Come on. Like, you're supposed to tell me this. Like, tell me not to come. Like, come on. So for those things, I'm probably too lenient. But that being said, like you said, it is hard to kind of be tough on people.
It is.
Without coming across as a jerk.
Right. And I didn't mention the sick thing, but like, and I'm glad you brought it up because, yeah, if they call and they're like, I'm just so sick, I mean, I'm not charging them for that. There's just, like I said, if it's something that just comes up that seems like it's pretty unavoidable, you know, but here and there, it just seems like you'll get that person. And with the attitude, it's just like, well, you know, any little thing that comes up, if it's, you know, that they're just willing to dismiss you and your service quite quickly, then those are the ones that I definitely charge.
Yeah, and you kind of get a sense of those people the first couple of times you see them. Now, here's another question that a lot of people were wondering is, how many times a week are you seeing your patients? You know, because I feel like a lot with the insurance base, it's like, oh, 3 times a week, you have to come 3 times a week. Like, I worked at a clinic where if they weren't coming 3 times a week, we would have to call and figure out why they weren't coming 3 times a week.
Yeah.
How do you sort of, I mean, obviously you use your professional judgment. That's a given.
It really is. But what I find is, especially when you're spending a full hour, you know, of one-on-one time, I'd say most of my patients I see once a week, now and again, twice. And then if I have, sometimes people will fly in from out of state, and of course I'll see them like day after, you know, so maybe 3 or 4 days in a row.
Right.
And then if I have athletes with an injury and they've got a game in a few days, sometimes I'll see them 3 or 4 days in a row. But those are pretty rare occurrences, and the vast majority of my patients I see once a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm about the same. I go once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And do you feel like because you have that hour time, I mean, I look at treatment, having an hour treatment is a luxury. And I don't mean a luxury for the patient. I mean a luxury for me.
Yeah.
I look at it as a luxury for me being the practitioner because, boy, doesn't it give you great time to reevaluate your patient, do a treatment, reeval, do some exercises, get some, you know, it just gives you so much freedom. I don't know. What do you think?
It's just an incredible luxury. I really can't imagine going back. You know, for those out there listening to this who just feel constantly rushed and you're seeing, I don't know, 15, 20 patients a day. I mean, because I wasn't ever in like a total money mill clinic, you know, we were seeing a ton of patients. We scheduled them like one every, you know, 25, 30 minutes, which I think is actually already kind of getting more on the rare side these days. But I mean, just, I can't imagine going back to that. You know, having that full hour you can get so much more done. You'll be amazed at, you know, someone that you are a condition that maybe used to take you 8 visits. All of a sudden, at the 4th visit, you're discharging them.
Yeah.
And then that kind of, you know, you can market the fact that when you have a full hour in each visit, you generally they're going to have to leave their office less times to see you before they're better. You know, for a lot of people, they value their time really, really highly.
Yes.
And when you're marketing to that kind of clientele, you know, definitely utilizing the fact that, hey, you know, if all else is equal and someone else is going to spend 20 minutes a visit with you and I'm going to spend an hour, you know, I should be able to get you better and at least, you know, at least twice as fast, right?
Right.
It doesn't always work out that way, but, you know, on average, you really do get people better with fewer visits, and that's something you can market as well if you're doing a cash-based practice.
Yeah, and that's
a little off topic, but
No. And that's exactly what Ann Wendell said last week was, you know, if you're trying to market to whomever you're marketing to. She said the same thing. She said, well, if a lot of people have $40 copays, if they have a $40 copay, they have to go 3 times a week. Well, that's $120, you know, and it, like you said, it may take you twice as long to get better. So in reality, yeah, maybe paying out of pocket's a little bit more expensive. It seems more expensive up front, but in the long run, you're probably spending the same, if not maybe a little less.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it really does work out to be less in some cases.
In some cases,
and certainly more in others. And,
yeah.
You know, if someone brings up that topic with me, and they're dealing with a chronic condition or something that I can tell they're going to need ongoing maintenance treatment,
yeah,
you know, then I'm real clear with them. Look, you know, if you had just sprained your ankle, yes, that would be the case. But what you're dealing with, we're going to need to take some time,
of course,
and really work on overtime. And so, no, it's, you know, so if money is a real big issue for them and they need to really consider, you know, the long-term cost, then I can refer them out to one of the great PTs around here that do accept insurance. You know?
Yep.
So, but yeah, in general, for the kind of more acute musculoskeletal things, I think I usually save people money when they come to see me.
Yeah, and I agree. And on that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour.
At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. I'm your host, Karen Litzy, joined today by the very patient Dr. Jared Carter, because we have been having some like phone issues and there's background noise and all this stuff going on. So thank you so much for being patient. And I think, yes, all that background nonsense is gone. So thank you for being patient, you know, live stuff. Anyway, so let's get into, this is another question from Zach Duhamel, who last week when I said his name, I completely butchered it. I think I said like Zach Duhamel, like Josh Duhamel, the actor who's married to Fergie. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this is from Zach Duhamel, and he wanted to talk about how do you, if you do, use technology in your practice to, I mean, he was looking at it from a cost perspective, but how do you use it even as far as ease of your day?
So from a cost perspective, there are a lot of you know, free options out there for different components of the practice. And before I go on, I'd like to say thanks to for all the questions from Zach. I'm excited to see what he does when he gets out in the field.
Yeah, he's not even, he's still a student.
You know, so I really have gone the keep costs down route in terms of technology and the use for my practice. So, for instance, I do my scheduling via Google Calendar. You know, obviously free email components. Yep. I use for a long time just to avoid the credit card fees. I actually only took check and cash.
Mm-hmm.
But I have gone to you know, getting a credit card swiper and that can plug into my Android phone.
So,
and we were talking about this recently on Twitter on who uses what. I use the PayPal. It's called PayPal Here Swipe.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And that's worked pretty well. I mean, I no major complaints there. I think that the
Square?
Charges or the rates are pretty similar between that and the Square.
The Square,
and
yeah.
Into it, but where you can get differences is in, or where some kind of can stand out better than the others is you have to look at how many times or how many kind of swipes you plan on doing or how much total amount.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think once you get above a certain amount per month, then some of your options for the swipe kind of plugins become better than others. I don't off the top of my head, I can't say which
Okay.
Which, but I've been happy with the PayPal. But, you know, in terms of ease of use and technology, something that I'm going through right now is that I'm really kind of getting worn out by having to do all my own scheduling, mm-hmm. Because I'm constantly getting texts and and emails and calls from patients. And I'd kind of resisted doing an online booking system or a scheduling system because Texas isn't direct access. And I didn't really want to have something up there where people could just, you know, set up an initial evaluation without knowing that they needed a referral first.
Sure, but, sure.
I mean, the thing is with those online billing platforms, you get an email for every time someone makes a change or adds. So you can just or have an assistant call any new patients and make sure that they, you know, that they get the required referral and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, in time. And if they book something you had open that afternoon, it might not work that well. But ultimately, what I'm finding is that I'm just putting a lot of time into the scheduling component mm-hmm. of things and also dealing with emails. So what I'm going to be experimenting with now is because having a full-time administrative assistant at the office would be too much money uh-huh. for a solo practitioner, I have a personal assistant that we're going to look at how I can train her to deal with all my patient-related emails or most of them, as well as getting probably a Google Voice number continues on. I read something recently that might be doing away with it.
Oh, really? I have a Google Voice number.
Kind of a free or cheap phone line mm-hmm. that will take messages and she can check and call them back twice a day mm-hmm. and try to create a system where I essentially have I have online scheduling and I have an assistant that maybe works 1 or 2 hours only a mm-hmm. day to deal with patient interaction and scheduling and any kind of billing issues or faxing or things like that. So I'll definitely be blogging about it as I go and as I come up with the different methods that make that possible because mm-hmm. As a solo practitioner, and a lot of cash-based practitioners are solo practitioners. You end up spending so much time on all that stuff, and it really eats into your day and mm-hmm. into your free time. And,
right.
And so I look forward to figuring out, you know, what can be done in those areas. In terms of EMR, mm-hmm. it's not really all that necessary in a cash practice because your documentation has to obviously be in line with what your state practice act mm-hmm. requires, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be so extensive like it is with Medicare and insurance because you're not billing those things. You're not worried about denial of payment because mm-hmm. of your you know, the way you have or have not, you know, documented something. So, I mean, I actually just still use paper, you know, paper and pen manila folder files. I am looking at trying to get with one of the EMR companies uh-huh. and developing a cash-based kind of specific EMR that makes faxing and things like that quicker and easier mm-hmm. and also have it link or sync together with an online scheduling platform. Mm. That could be years down the road, but it's something I'm interested in looking into. So everyone, you know, keep an eye out for that.
Right. And then, you know, so when you're at your practice during the day, you don't have someone running a front desk area or anything like that.
No, I have a nice little waiting area, mm-hmm. but, you know, I just kind of come out and greet the patients and bring them back, you know, mm-hmm. when their appointment's up. But no, I don't have someone here on site.
Yeah. And an option that I was kind of, I don't even have a brick and mortar practice, so I'm just running around.
It's expensive rent, right? In New York, the rent is crazy.
Well, yeah. So I just run around all day. And so my overhead is my Metro card and the occasional mm-hmm. cab ride, which is great. But what I was looking at maybe into doing to make, cause the scheduling and everything else, yes, it's, you know, difficult, especially because there are times where, like, I literally do not have time to call someone back for an entire day, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So I was actually toying with the idea of a virtual assistant.
Mm-hmm. And that's my assistant. She's here in Austin,
uh-huh.
But a lot of what she does for me is virtual. It is online tasks and things like that.
Right.
I use sheets instead of like a paper over the table, you know, so I go through a lot of sheets and
pillowcases.
So
right.
She comes by, picks those up, you know, she does different stuff for my blog, and but really what I'm looking at doing with her, I think you could totally do virtually. Mm-hmm. I really think you could.
Yeah.
I mean, testing and fixing and debugging, but I think mm-hmm. it could be done with
yeah.
a little bit of training.
Yeah, so I think that's also a nice way of the use of technology to keep your costs down, because a virtual assistant is not going to probably cost as much as a in-person right next to you mm-hmm. assistant would be. And
yeah.
like you said, that maybe you need that virtual assistant for 5 hours a week or maybe 10 hours a week or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be, it's not like you're paying someone for a 40-hour a week job.
Exactly.
You know?
One thing I would suggest there, because I've done some outsourcing of other tasks of other businesses that I'm involved in overseas. And you know, in terms of if the person is going to be doing any kind of interaction with the patients, I would definitely try to find a virtual assistant that's, you know, English is their first language, based mm-hmm. in the U.S. or Canada or
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah.
Even if it costs you a little bit more, you'll you know, I think you and your patients, clientele will prefer that, even if it, you know, you have to pay a little bit extra for it.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree. And there's lots of people here in the U.S. that can kind of help you out with that. And, you know, another thing that I do, I don't do it every day, but certainly if I have to see a new patient, I always take an iPad with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the iPad, versus having to carry on like books and things like that. So there's a great app on the, like an anatomy app on the iPad.
Oh, cool.
That I love to take with me to kind of show patients. It's 3D. It turns around. It's, you can make muscles disappear, reappear. You can look at the whole nervous system.
Cool.
Through it to kind of really give people, and there's a lot of different ones in the app store. What's it called?
Yeah.
I forget. I should have my, this is one of those days where I don't have my iPad with me. I forget, but okay. I will post it. But I have to say it's, Virtual Body. It's called Virtual Body.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
That's what it's called, Virtual Body. And it's really great because then, you know, you don't have to carry around. Because I go from house to house, I try and keep what I carry as light as possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine like carrying around an anatomy book with you?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, that's insane. I don't even like to have one in the office, you know?
Yeah. Do you also take notes on the iPad as well, or do you do that by paper?
When I have an iPhone or the iPad, so I will like write like an outline in the notes section. Like I use my phone a lot, so I'll write it on the notes section of my phone, and then I go home and I'll put it into the computer like later
okay,
on that
cool.
day. So it does add on maybe an extra hour of my time, and I don't remember things like I used to 10 years ago when I was younger. And so I actually have to like write stuff down, you know, like when your mom used to do that when you were younger and you're like, you can't remember that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's me. So now I have to write things down. And I also use my iPhone a lot to video patients. So I'll video them doing their exercises, and then I'll email them the video.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I use that as well. I have
yeah.
them video me on their phone sometimes.
Yeah.
But I have to go back and upload it and email or whatever. So
yeah.
They have their own phone there, which usually they do. I'll just say, okay, get your
yeah.
camera, you know, video going. And
Yeah, exactly. Good. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I do. I usually do it on, or because everybody always has their phone on them, even when I see them in
yeah.
their homes.
Yeah.
Their phone is literally right next to them,
yeah.
Like the iPhone or whatever. So I'll do that with exercises, or I'll have them, you know, if they have antalgic gait patterns, I'll videotape them walking well so they can always look at that
mm-hmm.
and see how they're walking well to kind of train them. Anyway, that's a whole another story.
That's a really great use of technology.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as Zach's questions go.
Yeah. And we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll sort of wrap things up. So everybody stay tuned.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart. I'm your host, Karen Litzy, and I'm joined today by Dr. Jared Carter, and we're talking cash-based models of physical therapy. And Jared, here's a question that I bet you get asked a lot, because when I was telling people, oh, I'm doing a show on cash-based physical therapy, everyone's like, well, who only pays you cash? So I think a common sort of, maybe this is a question that you get asked a lot, but does cash-based business mean that people can only give you cash?
Right. Yeah. It's obviously, it's just that's the term that most people use for the business model. But clearly, you know, a very, very small percentage of people actually pay for their, you know, pay for my services in physical cash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's just the term used. And I hate that, you know, that kind of is what brings to mind for people. It's like,
right.
You know, no, you can only bring cash, you know, I'm avoiding taxes. But
right.
You know, it's not like
it sounds, it does sound a little shady.
Yeah. It's just that, it's somehow, you know, that's the kind of most common name for this business model.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those of us who are, you know, talking about it or, you know, blogging about it or writing a book about it, we kind of have to use the term that most people think of. But I also use the term private pay a lot. I mean, I prefer that term more than anything, but again, kind of have to use the cash-based term.
Right. And I think Alan last week said he uses non-insurance-based. It's wordy, it's long, but you know, there's got to be a way to kind of simplify this, and so that people know when you say, oh, I run a cash-based business or a private pay business, that people know exactly what you mean, you know, when you say that. Because I think all of those terms, non-insurance-based, people be like, well, I don't understand. And cash-based, people think you only pay cash. Private pay, well, does that mean that my insurance is privately paying for it?
Right.
You know, so I think
we also use self-pay or out-of-network.
Yeah, I think Anne uses out-of-network model. But, you know, anyway, here's a question. Actually, this is a question that that I have is, how many patients are you seeing per day?
So right now, I try to cap it at six.
Six.
And so that's when I put about 10 minutes between each patient.
Uh-huh.
So that ends up being about 7 hours here, then a little bit of time for administrative work. And you've got yourself an 8 or 9 hour day.
Okay.
And lately I've been actually trying to block out one day a week where I do non-clinical work and work on, like, you know, an update to my ebook and, you know, a number of other projects that I've got going and even non-clinical businesses. So right now I'm seeing six patients, usually 4 days a week. If I have to, you know, fill in some on that extra day, if things are really, really busy, then I will. But that's kind of where I try to keep it now.
Okay. And God, that's good. How long did it take for you to build up? So this is, I think, a question for people thinking about starting a cash-based business. How long did it take you to get to the point where you're consistently seeing that many patients per week? And well, I don't know, maybe it's not super consistent all the time, but, on average.
That's what I'd say is that, like, pretty much from, and I don't know why it's like this, but for the 3 years so far I've been in business, the summer, for some reason, is a little slower.
Always.
And then as of, like, October through about April, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm, like, booking people 2 or 3 weeks out consistently. So, but in the summer times, I'll definitely have days where I have gaps, an unfilled spot here and there. But really within, so I started, I think, in February 2010 or March, and by that fall, it was busy. I mean, I was already kind of having those fully booked days most days of the week, and that was back when I was seeing patients 5 days a week. So
okay.
I was seeing like 5 to 6, 5 days a week.
Okay.
So in now part of that was I had been working for a private pay or cash based practice before that, and a number of people were finding me online and following me. So that definitely was a help, if you're coming out of an insurance-based practice where most of the people who are your established clients are used to using their insurance, you probably could count on some of them following you if you have a really good rapport with them and that they'd be willing to go out of network after that to stay with you and keep you as their therapist. But it wouldn't be quite as much as like if you're coming from a cash-based practice and everyone was already used to paying out of pocket or out of network rates to see you. So that definitely was part of it. And outside of that, I hustled. I mean, I really worked hard.
Yeah,
and I made sure that I was all over doing the right things online, social media, multiple networking events every week, following up with everybody, anything I could. I mean, I hustled. And so you've really got to do that. There's no way around having to do that, even if you have patients following you.
Yes,
if you want to get a full cash-based schedule in less than a year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, the way I was going from an insurance base to basically a cash-based home practice. So talk about even more of a niche,
Exactly.
But I started working, I was working full-time 40 hours and then found myself seeing people before and after and it got to be too overwhelming. So then I worked 20 hours and then I was like, I need to drop a day. So I was 20 hours a week working 4 hours, 5 days a week. And now I do work in a clinic 2 days a week, 4 hours each day, so 8 hours. But I sort of dropped that down. It took a couple of years to kind of get to that point. But now, I'm seeing 7 or 8 people every day, which is crazy. It's insane.
With travel time between, goodness gracious.
Yes, with travel time between, right. So that's usually like my Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and then I'll see 5 people on the days that I work in the clinic. And then work in the clinic 4 hours. So, yes, I know hustle. And then I work on the weekends, too, if I can't kind of fit everybody in. But like you said, and it's the same thing here in New York City, come June, you have a lull. So I think when you have a cash-based business, I think when you have the business come to you, you hustle and you do it. Because I know come June or July, I'm going to have some easier days. And that's great. I think that you can't be scared of those lulls. Do you know what I mean? You can't freak out over the lulls. That's my best advice to anyone is don't freak out over a lull and trust in yourself and trust in that you know what you're doing and you know that you're doing good work and it'll come to you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that. There's two awesome things you just mentioned was the don't worry about the lulls. They're going to happen. Because I remember when I had that first slowdown, I was like, oh no.
Oh my God, I made a mistake.
Like this, and all this doubt. And it of course came back pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And now I see that it's more cyclical, it's just something you can kind of expect.
Yeah.
And you also, the way that you eased into your cash practice, by doing less and less in your previous position.
Mm-hmm.
That is. I'm glad that you mentioned that because, you know, a lot of people are interested in just starting cash practice, but there are a lot of people out there who already obviously have a practice and mm-hmm. they want to just increase their cash-based income
mm-hmm.
Or their private pay income. And, you know, just taking an hour or two a week at first, just mm-hmm. to say this hour or two a week is going to be for out-of-network patients
mm-hmm.
and just building that up as that clientele increases over time,
right.
then you're not risking a lot.
Right.
You know, you're still maintaining an income while
That's right.
while building that part of your business and not risking too much and, like, you know, just doing a full conversion, dropping all your different third party payers all at once, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, you know, that's crazy. And it's a little scary and you know, like living in New York City, I mean, rents are expensive here.
Oh, God,
you know, so
yeah.
It's not like I was going to be like, I'm going to quit the security of my regular job and just cross my fingers, you know?
Right.
So I think I think for anyone thinking of going to a cash based model, you have to make sure that you really have all your ducks in a row before you start. And that means, like you said before, getting a mentor within the, and we said this last week as well, within physical therapy and within business.
Mm-hmm.
And also hitting up every entrepreneurial night, every you know, get together you can possibly get with,
mm-hmm.
you know, to try and get referrals. And just even getting your name out there is worth a lot. So I think that's my best advice. What would be your number one piece of advice that you can give in less than 2 minutes to someone?
Or piece of advice for getting started or converting or?
Let's say getting started.
So if you were just going to start out in the way I did without a practice, you're converting,
yeah.
you're starting from scratch. And I think your approach of visiting people at their homes, that worked well for me in
mm-hmm.
the very, very beginning before.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found what's called the booth rental, where it was like a nice massage spa kind of place where you could rent a room with a,
perfect.
You know, with a treatment table,
yep.
On a per visit basis. So if you're not spending money unless you're making it, right?
Yep.
So you can start to see patients there and then wean away from doing the home visits, unless you want to stay doing home visits, if that's what you like to do.
Sure.
So that's the approach that I took. And then, of course, all along the way is just, you know, you pretty much have to say, this is all I'm going to do for the next couple years until this thing is a success and I'm not having to constantly market is, you know, basically work 10 to 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
And know that at the end of the tunnel, if you have, you know, a fully booked cash-based practice and you're able to have a relaxed day with
mm-hmm.
your patients, an hour with each
mm-hmm.
one, making good money, that it will all be worth it. But it is going to be a lot of hard work up front, and you're
yeah.
going to have to hustle and get out there. And like you said, all the networking events and really, you know, network with especially the people in the health and wellness field, but
mm-hmm.
also just the entrepreneurs in your area.
Yeah.
Just work hard at it and know that it's going to take some time. But if you give good results and you provide a service that's far superior,
mm-hmm.
You know, in different components, whether it's one-on-one time, manual therapy, certain types of sports therapy, whatever
mm-hmm.
it may be. But if you're offering a superior service and you can get the word out about that, you can survive
yep.
and do well in a cash-based or private pay business model.
Absolutely. And where, before we sign off here, where can people find more information about you?
You could go to drjaredcarter.com. That's not doctor spelled out. So it's drjaerodcarter.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a website dedicated to the cash-based or private pay physical therapy business model. I have a ton of free info and former blogs there, and I also have an ebook for sale there
right.
on this topic. So
great.
Lots of information at drjaredcarter.com.
Yeah, and it's a great website, and there is a wealth of knowledge there. So thank you for putting that out there for everyone who really wants to get into more of a cash-based model. And thanks for coming on the show and being super-duper patient in the beginning. I apologize. But, you know.
No problem.
Live glitches happen every once in a while. So thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Great. And everyone, thanks for tuning in. And thanks to all of you for being patient there for the first couple segments. And have a great week and stay healthy, wealthy, and smart.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Ding 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 ding
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We are certified mediators. And I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.